Famous for their iconic Humboldt fog, inspired by the misty Humboldt County coastline, Cypress Grove has been a cornerstone of American cheese for over 40 years. Their range of fresh, soft-ripened, and aged goat cheeses promises an unforgettable experience. Proudly crafted in Arcata, California, where the redwoods meet the Pacific Ocean, Cypress Grove cheeses are available nationwide at specialty retailers. Discover their cheeses, serving tips, and even order online at cypressgrovecheese.com. Perfect for any occasion or as a gift. There's nothing like that Humboldt fog feeling.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
If you've been listening to the show over the past week and a half, you'll know that I've, I'm not going to say I've fully gone vegan, but I've gone vegan in terms of what I've been eating on a day-to-day basis. So I said I'd treat myself to a meal out yesterday to see what it's like. I went to Balfe's restaurant just around the corner from us here in Dublin city centre to see what they had on offer. And I spoke to their head chef, Tamá Hajnal, to see how they prepare all of their vegan food.
Okay, so I am going to try the roasted aubergine, spicy capanta, and I'm going to have the vegan burger.
So we cut the aubergine and after straight away to vacuum pack it, sous vide it for 65 degrees for 15 minutes, and after cool down, straight away in the icy water and storage it. And when the order is coming, we just put it in the hot water and roast it in the pan.
Can I get a glass of the Sauvignon Blanc Marlborough region? Vegan, please. Thank you. Okay. This looks great. Dee, yours looks absolutely amazing. What did you get again?
Butternut squash focaccia. It looks unbelievable.
Oh my gosh,
yeah.
So this is my first vegan burger I've had out. Actually, looking at it, it just looks like regular beef, like meat. But I'm so intrigued by the vegan mayonnaise.
It tastes really nice.
It's not a Heinz Hellman's taste, but it does just taste like an actual mayo.
The vegan mayo is actually homemade because we have hummus on the menu. We use chickpea for the hummus, and the liquid, we use it for the vegan mayo. The liquid, we mix it with mustard and after slowly put the oil on in the blender, and it's getting white and it looks like a mayonnaise. And we put some lemon zest, lemon juice, some salt and pepper.
This is vegan feta cheese, which is gorgeous. I wonder, is it because it's cooked and melted? Like, that actually tastes like real feta.
All yours.
So I'll just spoon it into me. It's the first time I've had cheese in about 10 days. Oh my God. So good. Right, ready to try some vegan wine?
Absolutely.
Cheers. Absolutely gorgeous.
Delicious. We must look after the alcohol as well to be vegan. So we have an option for vegan wine as well.
Yeah. Well, it's been absolutely fabulous. It's probably the second time I've had a full vegan meal, so really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much for coming, and I hope we will see you soon again.
Yeah, that's a chef from Balfe's, head chef Tamá Hajnal, talking us through just a little bit about some of the ingredients that were on the menu. I would absolutely have some of those dishes again. I would never in my wildest dreams have ordered a roasted aubergine for dinner, or any kind of, you know, sweet potato focaccia with vegan feta cheese. I would never even have really had a vegan burger before, to be honest. But they were really enjoyable. And I suppose it just shows you when it's done right and done well that it is quite tasty. And it is maybe another option to consider. I got a really interesting text from a listener this week. They said, I'm vegan, but not on animal welfare grounds. I'm just vegan to lower my carbon footprint. And if there were more vegans, there would be less farm animals, less environmental damage. So the government should subsidise vegan meals to tackle climate change. And I thought it was a fascinating idea and something that was definitely worth debating and exploring in the show, because I didn't really understand how much work was actually involved in preparing vegan food until I met Tomás and Balfe's yesterday. So I'm interested in your views on this today. Should vegan meals be subsidised to entice customers to pick the odd vegan option? 1800 453 106, that's the number. Dee is with me on the line in Kerry. Dee, do you think this should be subsidised?
Hi, Andrea. Well done on your vegan meal. Fabulous.
It was lovely.
Yeah, there's such a great variety of choices out there now. It's fantastic. In Kerry, like, it's incredible. So, yeah, we are moving forward. Well, I mean, as regards subsidising, producing plant-based food, I mean, sure, animal agriculture is massively subsidised, as is dairy. I mean, you know, beyond what really should be. You know, if you think of those industries, There's actually a great documentary called Food for Profit. And it shows how intensive farming is absolutely subsidised, you know, and massively subsidised in the EU. And you have all kinds of problems: water pollution, exploitation of migrants, biodiversity loss, antibiotic resistance, animal abuse, all those things. So, like, it stands to, isn't it just like a natural progression that now plant-based produce must be subsidised?
How would it work?
I mean, it's not rocket science.
Would you subsidise every dish, or, I mean, how would you do it? Would it be the products? Is it just those that are kind of the take-off, or the, if you want to call them, the fake meat alternatives?
I'd say tax breaks for using sustainable practices for plant-based producers, and more balanced approach to public funding. I mean, taxpayers' money should be used to deliver benefits for taxpayers, shouldn't it? So, and, you know, there is this myth abroad, or this narrative that, you know, that only, you know, meat or only animal will, and dairy, that, you know, otherwise you'll die of malnutrition and rickets, and which, you know, all that stuff is not true. So I would say absolutely, producers, go back to the producers, and let's have a fair playing field. That's what we need.
Okay. Thomas Duffy is a farmer in Cavan. Do you agree, Thomas?
No, I don't agree. First off, can we address a little bit of misinformation there? In the EU, agriculture is not subsidised on one sector or another. In the EU, we have a decoupled payment. So to say dairy and beef is subsidised but plant-based products are not subsidised is false. Both of them receive the exact same level of support. Now, there are other issues, and there are big... No, that absolutely is true. I worked in agricultural policy for 4 years. You can watch documentaries online, but those are false documentaries spreading misinformation, as we've seen with the likes of Cowspiracy and stuff. So let's address the actual fact. We have a decoupled common agricultural policy whereby farmers get support across the board. Now, there are issues, and I would actually support far more support for the production of vegetables and fruit. Horticulture has been massively negatively impacted, but this is to do with policy matters. The suspension of the Groceries Act and the allowing of below-cost selling has absolutely hammered our horticulture sector, and it has been a particular issue. That is not to the benefit of dairy and beef. There has been no move to support dairy and beef over horticulture. It's just, we have to be realistic about a couple of things. Number one, we do not have a great climate for growing these fruit and vegetables out of particular areas, particularly Wexford and Dublin. Most people will be familiar around North County Dublin, some of the best growing land in the country, but it's also where land prices are also extremely high. Now, more broadly, I think we do need to have a conversation. While I do support more support for the horticulture sector, and in the intro there, wonderful to hear some, you know, minimally processed foods, but that vegan burger and many of these ultra processed foods are in fact not healthier for you than minimally processed animal, plant and based protein, and very often are not better for the environment either. So we do need to have a conversation around that. We know that ultra processed foods are very, very harmful.
Yeah, and I know what you're saying. If you were buying the, you know, the very processed alternatives that are out there, maybe on a daily basis, but I suppose a lot of them are homemade, though.
No, a lot of them aren't. The majority that, you know, are really getting pushed by the likes of the large multinationals are just ultra-processed food. I don't know what was the ingredients, for instance, in your vegan burger. Do you know?
Well, it was homemade.
It could have been homemade.
Yeah, it was homemade.
What's the level of sodium? What's the level of saturated fats? And, you know, the issue really is to try and create an alternative to you know, animal protein. Very often we have to either sacrifice nutritional quality. So, for instance, in the alternatives to milk, I always try to make a differentiation. Even as a farmer, I make a differentiation between things that are equivalent in nutrition. So the likes of soya, for instance, can roughly match in high quality protein, but the likes of oat and pea milk and all these other alternatives that they call milk are actually massively deficient in terms of provision of protein. And some people will scoff and say, oh, it doesn't matter. But when you look at the nutrient profile, particularly of young women.
Bear with me, if you don't mind, Thomas, for a moment, because I just want to get a couple of other views on this as well. And maybe Ludo's a chef in Galway. Like, how difficult would it be, or is it something that is beneficial if there was, and I don't even know logistically how this might work, but if you were to have some kind of subsidised offering for vegans or vegan options, do you think it would actually even entice people to pick those items on the menu more frequently?
Hi, Andrea. I'm not sure it would increase demand for it. Like, just because, like, a lot of people, especially in rural area, are very into their meat for dinner, especially when going out. Then it's also a matter of how you put this in place and what do you actually subsidize. Like, as this gentleman was saying, all the vegan food is not good. Like, if you take a portion of chips with ketchup in any fast food, like, it's vegan, but is that the kind of food you want to subsidize and to make cheaper for more people to have, like, same as a packet of chips? So it's not, I don't think it's an easy topic.
Mm. Would you be in favor of it then? No, you.
It's not that I'm for or against. Like, I think there's a lot of discussion to have before we get to this point. And on top of that, if it's, for restaurants to do extra administrative work and to have delays and in their cash flow, like, it's hard enough as a restaurant to survive at the moment, you know. If you add extra work and less money, it's going to be, it's make life even harder.
I think one of the things that struck me this week, though, because we have talked about the cost of eating out and buying vegan products, and often there's questions raised about why they're so expensive. But I suppose in order to have a tasty vegan meal on the menu, there is a lot of work that still goes into that, Ludo.
Yes, of course, there's a lot of work, and there's, you need to have a professional chef that is creative, like, it's easy to put dry pasta and tomato sauce that come from a tin. But, that's not what you want. And then, in the cost of a plate, there's a lot going on. Like, you have all your staff, even if you have a high-end restaurant, you have a host, you have a bartender, you have, kitchen hands, you have staff, you have electricity, you have, your rent.
It's not as simple as we might think. Connor Sweeney is from DAE. They're a plant-based company. Do you think vegan meals or products should be subsidised, Connor?
Hi, Andrea. Thanks for having me. So at Day, we're a completely allergen-free brand. We focus on catering for people who are nut-free, gluten-free, and also we fall into that plant-based bracket. We would love to sell our products for cheaper through a plant-based subsidy, but I think the man from Calvin actually hit the nail on the head there. It all goes under policy. Since the EU scrapped the CAP, or Common Agricultural Policy, and for any listeners that don't know what that is, essentially the EU will have a set price for dairy, meat, cheese, veg, etc., and they'll buy it. So since they've kind of scrapped it, it's been a free-for-all, and there hasn't been a real policy put in place. So a subsidy, which was very clear on what would work as a plant-based, is quite unclear. But we would love to see it on our end, because we'd love to sell our products for people who can't physically eat dairy, and all the other stuff that we cater for would be great, I think.
I mean, the only thing I would say about this, why would we subsidise vegan options when going vegan is a lifestyle choice? Like, we're not talking about subsidising celiac dishes or products for celiacs. So why, I suppose, favour or single out vegans?
Good point. I guess vegan movement has definitely had a steady rise over the past decade. It's a lot more trendy to talk about being a vegan, and I'm sure there's some data out there which suggests being vegan and fully plant-based is better for the environment, and then I'm sure there's studies out there that say the opposite.
Yeah.
But in terms of being celiac and allergens, I think they are catered for as well. They've been around, not very well, might I add, but they have been catered for over the last decade, whereas being plant-based is very on-trend all the conglomerates and these big multinationals are hopping on the bandwagon trying to make a quick buck. So I think maybe that's another question I should be asked. Why is this vegan lifestyle being subsidized rather than other allergies?
Yeah, well, you're right about the marketing around it. It's you know, it's very much in, I don't want to say in your face, but it's out there. There's a lot more marketing certainly around the vegan lifestyle than I think many others. Monica's on the line too. Monica, you wanted to make a point about this.
Hello, Andrea. Thanks for having me on, and thank you for bringing up the subject. I'm also a vegan niche, kind of, you know, eat as much plant-based food as I can. I guess I just want to make a point. It is expensive. I do know it's expensive, and I don't. But you know, we have no kids, so we can kind of afford an extra for the oat milk or plant based yogurt and what have you. But like, for example, I have friends who have who eat standard diet, but they do like, the kids do like oat milk. But if she was to fork out three times the amount she pays for a normal dairy, you know, milk, she just couldn't afford it. So so I wonder, it's not really a lifestyle that I would be happy to see government subsidize. It's really your daily food, your staple food, and you know, most people eat their porridge and their milk and what have you, but and so do vegans, and we have to pay 2 to 3 times for the oat milks, you know.
I did notice that. You know, a few people said to me about 2 weeks ago, "Oh, you'll notice you'll save a fortune, you know, when you're shopping and buying vegan products." And I've said it to the team here 2 or 3 times. I haven't noticed any drop in what I've paid in the shops in terms of my, you know, products that I would buy each week in my shopping bill. I haven't noticed really any change. I'd say it's in and around the same.
Well, between vegan and non-vegan, you mean?
Yeah. And I was kind of surprised at that.
If you're looking for kind of Beyond Burger, kind of vegan burgers, they are kind of 3 times the price of a normal burger. So to me, I know that Thomas was very knowledgeable. He's a farmer and he knows his business. But I mean, it would be rather naive to think that to rear a cow and have, you know, feed her and care for her and get her slaughtered and, you know, transport her there and back, like, you know, a price of a burger cannot be €2, and that's what you pay for in a butcher's shop. So it is heavily subsidized. So all I'm usually would be asking for is just to have a kind of an equal approach to at least yogurts and milks and I also agree that processed food is not good for you, and I try to avoid eating even vegan processed food. But you have to start somewhere. So I think at this transition time, you kind of want to try something which is relatively simple, and then as you progress in your journey with veganism, you kind of want to cook something from the scratch, and that's what I try to do. And whether you eat meat or not, cooking from the scratch is the healthiest way to do it, and it both takes time.
Yeah, I will say that it is, you're 100% about that, it is time consuming. There is no doubt about it.
I love doing it, yeah. You know, and I became much more into, you know, got into cooking since
okay.
I went.
Just on the celiac, I made a point about that a few moments ago. Listener says you do get a 20% tax back for your gluten-free products if you're celiac. You can also claim for gluten-free food if you have celiac disease, or diabetic products if you have diabetes. Instead of a prescription, you can use a letter from the doctor stating that you have celiac disease or diabetes, and you can use the receipts from the supermarket or the chemist. Just a point in from a listener. Just finally, Tomás, on this, lot of mixed reaction, you know, to it. Some people think it's a lifestyle thing, shouldn't be subsidised. Others pointing out, you know, you've no problem talking about the climate, and then people sitting down and eating avocados and guacamole that comes with it. But there are people too who think there's no harm encouraging, given the recent climate reports and the state of the climate globally at the moment, that we should maybe look to some kind of an option like this, Thomas.
So again, I'm absolutely supportive of eating more. But even if we go back to, you know, some of the things that, and I know obviously it was it's slightly foreign cuisine. I'm not sure whether it's East Asian, I think, that cuisine. But if you look at aubergines and stuff like that, those are not things that we produce here. So we definitely should be eating more.